Morning, everybody. It's great to see you all here this morning. I'm going to start this morning's service by reading from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving and sing praises to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, a great King, above all gods. So scripture encourages us to come together as a group like we are and singing and praising his name. So please stand as we celebrate his goodness to us and we sing, "To God Be the Glory."
Did you get one of those balls?
Yeah. Okay.
The glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. The blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, our woe from Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me, my Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from his side. No greater sacrifice. And what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven, and I praise God for what he's done. Sing for the freedom he has won, even death is dead and done, his life has overcome. Speak and say the name above all names, over every broken.
broken place. He is risen from the grave. And what he's done, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven, and I praise God for what he's done. Now, on a throne of majesty, the Father's will complete, he reigns in victory. Sing hallelujah to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. Come on, sing it out. And what he's done, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven, and I praise God for what he's done. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God.
Seated. Good morning and welcome to Columbia Methodist Church. If you're visiting this morning, we welcome you here. If you're watching online this morning, we also welcome you as you join us together for our time of worship. Just a few reminders that the third Saturday of this month, I believe it's the 21st of January, we'll be having our men's breakfast at Hinkle's. So I invite all the men of the church to come out and just to experience some time together, just to get to know each other better and share and encourage each other. If you're in need of a ride to the breakfast, please let me know, and that way we can make sure that you get to the breakfast if that's what's keeping you from coming. So please mark that down. January 21st, 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock. We're going to start a little bit earlier, 8:30 in the morning at Hinkle's. So we'll hope you'll be able to join us if you are a man of the church. Also, a reminder that right after the service, we'll be having a congregational meeting, and then after the congregational meeting, we'll be having the open house of the church parsonage for anybody that would like to tour it, can tour it at that time. In the back this morning at the Credenza and Welcome Center are the birthday list, minutes from our church council meeting in December, and other items that you might be interested in. Again, we are excited that you are with us here today, and excited as you continue to begin the new year with being together here at Columbia Methodist Church. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now, and we give you thanks and praise, God. Thank you for allowing us to enter into a year of fresh starts, beginnings, a year of renewal. And we come this morning, Lord, and we give you thanks for allowing us to be able to come and worship you, that you have enabled us to be in your presence because of what your Son has done for us. So now, God, we come and we ask, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon the offering that has been collected this morning, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, that you'll be pleased with our sacrifice. We give back to you a praise this morning, that you'd be pleased with our hearts as we come and we give you thanks for all you have done for us. Thank you, God. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Let us continue to worship together.
Amen. There is freedom here in worship. I was going to say, you can go ahead and worship sitting right now. I know we've stood for a while. But if you would like to stand and worship, that you are welcome. Do what the Lord leads you to do. This next song, we have sung it a couple times. It's a prayer of giving our hearts and our lives to the Lord. May it be your prayer this morning. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Seated. Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. To honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me till the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you till the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And a light, and a light unto my path.
Thank you, Jim and Melody, for leading us this morning. And as we continue this time of worship together, let us pray together. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would be with us now, that you would open our hearts and our minds, and that our ears might be in tune to what you have in store for us today. Amen. Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series on the book of Proverbs, and we'll be studying the book of Proverbs for the next several weeks as we dive in and we look at the book of wisdom together this new year. It is an important book because it gives us wisdom, direction on how to live life to the fullest. And this week we're going to be diving into chapter 3 of Proverbs, in which Jim read for us, a very common passage that we probably all memorized as a child. And so we're going to be looking closer at Proverbs chapter 3 together. There is a story of how four people were flying together in a plane. You had the pilots, there was a pastor, and two teenagers. And one of those teenagers had just won the award for being the smartest teenager in the world. Well, as they were flying, the pilot said, "Well, I have some bad news and I have some worse news." He said, "The bad news is the plane's out of gas and we're about to crash." The worst news is I only have 3 parachutes on board. So the pilot continued to talk and he said, well, I have a wife and kids and I have a lot of expectations back home. So he took one of the parachutes and he jumped out of the plane, only leaving 2 remaining parachutes. Well, then the smartest teenager in the world spoke up and said, well, I just won the award for being the smartest teenager in the world, and who knows, I might come up with a cure for cancer or some other disease, or I might be able to fix the economic crisis, so I'm going to take the next one, and I'm going to jump because, after all, the world is going to need me. That left the pastor and the other teenager, and the pastor looked at the teenager and said, you take the last parachute, I'm okay. I've made my peace with God, and I will go down with the plane. Well, we find that as the pastor is saying that, the teen responded to him, Pastor, you don't have to go down with the plane, because the smartest teenager in the world just jumped out of the plane with my backpack. You see, a lot of times we can be like that smartest teenager in the world. We think that we're really smart and we could just jump right into things of this world. We can start making decisions. We can start doing things that eventually lead us on the wrong path of life. We think we have all the answers. We think we know it all at times, that we can have this fulfilled life doing what we think is best, only to eventually to crash and burn and to be unfulfilled. And that's what Proverbs tells us, that without wisdom, we'll be led astray and eventually can be led to death. Now, a lot of us still haven't learned how to make wise decisions, and I think some of us, that depends upon the situation we're in as we face things in life. I know for myself, there are times where I make really wise decisions and times I don't make wise decisions. Because at times we'll act impulsively and times we don't think, and then we wonder why we get the same results over and over and over again in our lives. So how is it that we can correct that? How is it we can stay on a correct path this new year of 2023? How is it that we can stay on the path that God intends for us? Well, we need to trust the fact that our heart and emotions will lead us astray. We need to not seek happiness, but we need to seek truth this new year. We also need to realize that our emotions will tell us the things that will make us happy in the short term and eventually lead to more problems and chaos in life. That if we want to stay on the path that leads to God, a path that will give us a better life, then we need to be on the path that seeks truth, not happiness. Not the quick way of doing things. Because our decisions today will shape our future for tomorrow. If we don't start searching for truth now, if we don't start looking for truth now and looking for wisdom and applying it to our lives, no matter how old we are, we will continue to live an unfulfilled life. We can choose that easy path in life, the path that makes us feel happy on the short term instead of the hard path, knowing that it might be difficult at times, knowing there might be trials and tribulations, knowing that it might not be easy, but we don't like that path because we don't get instant gratification right away. And the world tells us that's what life is all about, is instant gratification. We choose the easy path because we want to experience that joy and pleasure right now. For instance, I like chocolate. Chocolate makes me very happy as an individual. I would much rather sit around and eat chocolate than go to the gym. Because the gym sometimes does not make me happy. It doesn't make me feel good sometimes. That when I go to the gym, I come home and go, wow, I'm feeling some pain that I didn't have before because my muscles are being exercised and I'm beginning to utilize the different variants of my muscles and I'm active. And so my body is saying, you know what, I'm going to be a little sore for you for a day or so because you're doing things I'm not used to. But I like chocolate so much easier. I don't have to have that pain. I don't have to have all that, the commitment of going to the gym and maybe walking for 2 miles and then lifting some weights here and there, because that takes time. That takes commitment. That takes energy. That means that I might not feel so good afterwards. So give me the chocolate, right? Instead of going to the gym. But which one's better, the chocolate or going to the gym in the long run? Well, obviously, going to the gym is better in the long run. Although it takes work, it's hard, you put a lot of effort in, you might feel tired sometimes, your body might feel some aches and some pains, it's better for your health in the long run. It's better for you and your muscles. It's better to be able to live a longer life than just to sit and enjoy the chocolate that might cause other health issues like diabetes and other things that might lead to a quicker way of death. You see, that is how life is for us. We can choose the chocolate, the thing that we enjoy the most, the thing that we just want to sit back and savor and not go to the gym because the gym takes more effort and we don't see the immediate results right away. You can go to the gym and you can work out the gym for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and you go, well, I'm not seeing the results. Because it takes time, it takes effort, it takes work. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's how life is. We choose the easy road or the road that is a little bit more difficult, requires energy, commitment, means that sometimes we might not see the results right away, but if we continue to work at it and stay with it, then we're able to see the results in the long run. We are allowing ourselves to either guide ourselves with emotions and what makes us feel good and happy, or making wise decisions and saying, you know what, even though it might be difficult, I'm going to choose this way because in the long run it's better. Remember last week I said our direction, not our hopes and our dreams, not our emotions, not our best intentions determines our destination. No, it is our direction that determines our destination. So this morning, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3 that Jim read for us. If you have the Bibles in your pew, you can look there, Proverbs chapter 3. If you have your phones, you can go to BibleGateway.com. Or if you have the Bible app on your phone, you can follow along as well. Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord of all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This shall bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of your crops. And when the barns are filled with overflowing, the vats will brim over with new wine. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father delights in his son. And we look at Proverbs chapter 3 this morning, and we find here that Solomon says that God will make our path straight if we do three things. The first is trust in the Lord with all our heart. The second is lean not on our understanding. And the third is acknowledging God in all of our ways. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. This means that every area of our life we need to give to God. To stay on the right path and to trust in God with all our heart means that we go where He leads us and we follow Him. It means we place all of our confidence in Him. It means that we put all of our faith and our hope in Him. It means that we say it's God's plans, not my plans. Even when we don't understand, even when we have questions. Trusting in God means that we have to lean on what doesn't feel right, but what God tells us to do. It's interesting, because whenever I ask somebody about a decision I might need to make, they'll say a phrase like, well, what is your gut telling you? Or how does your gut feel? And that's okay, because you do have to have a sense of allowing yourself to decide, well, what is kind of my gut telling me? But I would say that's more of like the Holy Spirit guiding me and directing me. But a lot of times we can kind of just base that upon what we're feeling without seeking direction from God and saying, well, here's what I'm feeling right now. This is the emotion I have. This is my gut feeling. And I'm going to make a decision based upon what my gut is telling me. So we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with just following our hearts. We have to be careful with this because sometimes we can lie to ourselves and our gut can lead us astray, causing long-term problems. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Leaning on God's understanding and his trust and not our own, directing us where we should go. Now think about that. One phrase. Acknowledging God in all our ways. Do we really want that in our life? We say that, but do we really want that? Because when we say, "I will acknowledge God in every area of my life," then all of a sudden there's some repercussions that come with saying it. Acknowledging him with how we live our life. And so many times we'll say, "God, I acknowledge you, and I want you to allow me to have a better life, and I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to acknowledge my ways in you." But yet so many times when it comes to our relationship with him, it's second nature. So many times we fill our schedule up with things, and God and church and our relationship with quiet time and prayer gets put on the shelf because other things become a priority and we don't acknowledge him. We don't acknowledge him sometimes with our giving. We give the leftovers to him, whether it's our time or whether it's our gifts or talent or our money, that so many times we've given the leftovers of, "Well, here's what I have left from the week, so I'm going to give it to you." Instead of giving those first fruits back, as Proverbs says, that I'm going to give you the best of my time, my talent, my gifts, and my service. But so many times, we only give him a little bit of that. Do we acknowledge God in our private thoughts when we're left alone? Do we acknowledge God in our marriages, our relationship with our kids? Do we acknowledge God in the secrets that we want nobody else to know about? In our lives, do we acknowledge God when it comes to putting him first in church and giving? See, trusting God means we put him a priority and we seek first his kingdom in everything, not just when it comes to salvation. So many times we'll say, "Well, God, I will trust you. I will acknowledge you for salvation only. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins." And that's where we leave it at. We don't acknowledge God any other way in our lives except through salvation. And Proverbs says if we are going to trust him and acknowledge him so he can direct our paths, then it goes beyond salvation. It goes beyond everything we do each and every day of our lives. As Proverbs 3:7-10 says, "Not being wise in our own eyes, but fearing the Lord, bringing health to our body and nourishment to our bones, honoring the Lord with our first fruits that he might overfill us." You see, we need to stop being wise in our own eyes, and we need to realize that God has to be a part of every decision we make, no matter how big it might be or how small it might be. That God needs to be a part of those things. We need to stop being like the smartest teenager in the world from the earlier story I shared. And we need to stop making decisions on what we think is right and allowing ourselves to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Honoring God with what he's given us. Honoring God with the blessings he's bestowed upon us. Honoring God and directing our paths with everything we have. If you remember, when we have taken membership vows, we said what? That we would be able to honor and commit to this church by our gifts, our talents, our prayers, and by our presence. But how many times are those just words that we say and we forget about those things? Acknowledging God means that we value that commitment, we value those words, and we do our best to fulfill that commitment. God says, "If you trust me, then your life will be full of trust. If you trust me, then others will see a difference in you." I think from my own life that so many times I go, "Well, I'm not quite sure, God, and I'm not sure if I trust you." And it's interesting because, you know, people can tell when you're kind of walking that fine line of what faith is and kind of like, "I'm not sure." And that you might say, you know, well, I fully trust you, God, but people can see that in your life when you say, I fully trust you, but. And God says, if you fully trust me, then people will see how you live your life and every area of your life that you fully trust me, and it will point others to me because they'll wonder why you have so much faith and so much trust in what you're doing and how you're living your life. You see, if we want to continue to grow as Christians, if we want to continue to grow Columbia United Methodist Church in the next 3, 5, 10 years, we need to acknowledge God in every area of our life, not just the areas that we want to give Him and hold on to things. No, we need to give Him everything we have and not hold back. God, I'll give you this, but I'm going to hold on to this over here. God, I'll give you this, but you know what? This is really important to me, so I'm going to hold on to this over here. If we are going to trust and acknowledge God, we have to give Him all that we have, not just bits and pieces of what we have. Leaning not on understanding and directing us, allowing Him to provide for us. Two men went fishing one day. And one of those men that went fishing was an expert fisherman, and he began to catch things, and the other individual that was with him was not an experienced fisherman. It was just going out for his first time. Well, the experienced fisherman, as he's fishing, he began to catch some really big fish, and he began to put them in the cooler that was beside him so that he could take them home, scale the fish, and have some fish to eat later on. Well, he sat there and he watched the other individual that wasn't very experienced catching some very big fish as well, and he saw him throwing the fish back in the water. And the experienced fisherman sat here and watched the individual catch these fish, throw them back, catch these fish, and throw them back. And eventually, the experienced fisherman got frustrated and said, "What are you doing? Why are you throwing these fish back? Why aren't you keeping these fish?" And the man looked at the experienced fisherman and said, "Well, you see, I just have a very small frying pan, and I can't fit the big fish into my frying pan." Sometimes we are like that inexperienced fisherman. We throw the big dreams, the big hopes we have, the big plans that God has given us, we throw them back because we have a small frying pan. Because our faith is small, our faith is not big. And God says, "I want to give you this great big fish," and we throw it back and we say, "I'm sorry, it doesn't fit into my small frying pan that I have." All the fisherman needed was a bigger frying pan, and he would have been able to keep all the fish that he was catching. But instead he was throwing back all those things that he caught because he had a small frying pan. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're wondering, "Well, why am I struggling? And why haven't I felt God's presence in my life? And why is it that I'm on the path I'm on?" Maybe it's because you have a small frying pan of faith that you need to go and you need to expand your frying pan and get a larger frying pan of faith so that God can guide you, direct you, and so you can feel His presence in your life. As a church, maybe we need a bigger frying pan than what we have. Maybe it's time as individuals that we evaluate this new year and we evaluate our presence. We evaluate our church and we say, "How big is our frying pan? And how is it that I can put these fish in the frying pan so that everybody can benefit from the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can grow the church and grow the community and touch people's lives?" How big is your frying pan this morning? Do you have a small frying pan, or do you have a big frying pan? Because you see, we all need that bigger faith. Trust in the Lord with all our heart, with all our time, with all our money, with all our service, with all our commitment, and He will direct our paths. But not only direct us, provide for us and care for us, and make sure that our needs are taken care of even more than what we could ever imagine if we truly give God all we have and allow Him in every area of our life. So as we move forward in the year 2023, are we trusting God, acknowledging Him that He might direct our paths? Do we have that big frying pan of faith in which we say, God, we're expecting you to do great things. And when God gives us that big fish, we say, thank you, God, for giving us that big fish. And we're going to make sure we do something with that big fish instead of throwing the big fish back over because it doesn't fit into our little frying pan. This morning, as we go in just a few moments and we continue our week together, go our separate ways, let us truly evaluate this new year and how successful we might be as individuals and as a church by asking ourselves that question. Are we really trusting in God and acknowledging Him in all the ways that He might make our paths straight?
In response to this morning's sermon, please stand as we sing, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, that we will lean on Him and not trust on our own understanding, but in all our ways in our lives acknowledge Him.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. To walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. To dread, what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all.
So as we continue our journey together, because the light of Christ goes with us as we leave and go into the world, let us take the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit with us as we lean on God's everlasting arms, as we trust and acknowledge Him in all our ways, leaning not on understanding that He will direct our paths. May the grace and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen and amen. Have a blessed week.